we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there.
You may be seated. Amen. That ought to make us hungry for heaven. Praise the Lord. Would it be nice and it going to be great to be in a place where everybody will be happy? Amen. You look around, you won't see a sad face. You won't see anybody feeling guilty for their sinful past. Amen. There will be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more pain, no more death. Won't be any other choice. Just be happy, happy, happy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
What? I think I'm sung out.
Yeah, that's how I am all the time. I'm sung out before I ever start.
Amen. You know what? I better do it for Jane or I will not hear the last of it.
I was kind of out of it from the time from the womb. And we'll be out of it till the tomb. Amen, as it was said. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Sister Davis.
Praise
she said
Lord.
Something Sister Jane had requested her to sing. Didn't not request me to sing, but requested Sister Davis to sing. So she's going to sing. I don't ever get to hear her sing anymore, hardly, except in the house. Amen.
Yeah.
In the bedroom, you know, door shut. Amen. She's supposed to be praying, and she's in there singing. Hallelujah. But there's nothing better than being in the middle of prayer. Amen. Have a song come to your spirit and sing that song. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Figuring it out in a lower key. Just a minute. Okay. They'll probably sing this at my funeral. I sang this so often. So many people start to walk with Jesus. But before too many miles, they fall by the way. They start the trip with so many good intentions. But soon they feel the price is too high to pay. Oh, but when I gave my heart and life to Jesus, he promised that he would be my closest friend. And with his strength beside me, his steady hand to guide me, I know that I can make it. Count me in. Count me in when you count the people who are making plans to go. My choice is made. I'm not ashamed to let the whole world know. I don't plan to be alone. chosen number, count me in. Count me in when you count the people who are making plans to go. My choice is made, I'm not ashamed to let the whole world know. I don't plan to be a loser, I started out to win. So when you count that chosen number, count me in. I can't say the road has always been easy, for so many times I stumble and I fall. But every time Satan tries to make me falter, there's a source of strength and power I can call. You see, the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. That Satan is left powerless within. So in that name I come against him. It's time that we convinced him. We are gonna make it, count us in. Count me in when you count the people who are making plans to go. Sis made, I'm not ashamed to let the whole world know. I don't plan to be a loser, I started out to win. So when you count that chosen number, when you count that chosen number, count me in. Oh Lord Jesus, know my name, count me in.
You may be seated just for a few moments. Praise the Lord. Amen. We just need to have a little coffee chat here without the coffee. Amen. We've already had our share, but it's good to come to this church. I feel so at home in for some reason. Amen. And it just feels natural to be here and good to see you all. And Brother and Sister Wells out of town, I know, and we feel honored to be able to come back here and preach. And hopefully you'll feel that way when we're done today. You might not, but hopefully that you are. Praise the Lord. But I don't know, but I started out this Jesus. Way to win.
Yes, I did.
Amen.
Yes.
Everybody said amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And I did not mean, and you did not mean to fail. Some of you have, Brother Davis has been able to watch you for years and years and years. And I know you. You're not perfect. Amen. I want to tell you something. Perfection makes it very hard on your life. Amen. It's hard to be humble. Amen. When you're perfect in every way. Praise the Lord. I can teach on that, but you probably would never attain it. Amen. And one, I know you'd never receive it because you're smart enough to know that there's none of us perfect. Praise the Lord. But it's just good to be in the house of the Lord with good people.
Jesus,
praise the
amen.
Lord. And to, I've always appreciated this church when Brother Davis was here. Not just from people that you would meet in town that knew people that attended this church, but business people every now and then. Matter of fact, even I had pastors, at least two pastors, that one time asked me the question. Virtually it was the same. It was probably worded in a different way between them. And they said, how do you get people to live the way you live? How does it work? He says, I wish our church was more like that. He said, but I just kind of imagine. Well, one of it is the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. It's being taught here. And still being taught here and being preached
yes.
here.
Yes.
Amen. And it is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Amen. In our life that bears witness to that truth.
Jesus, Jesus.
And to us, the Word of God is not just a book to be cast off to the side. Yes. Amen. It's a book to be read. It's a book to be practiced in the lifestyle. And the Bible tells me, and you say, and sometimes, especially when I'm around young ministers, I tell them it's going to be a tough day. It's not going to be a defeated day, but it's going to be a day to where you'll find less and less people. The end time tells you this. Amen, that the day will come that men will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And in today, it is so, so difficult to work through all of that. I know Brother Davis has talked to you about this before. I don't know if it's I'm getting older, you know, that I some of this stuff is kind of sinking into me. I think it's more of the awareness of the Word and the awareness of what is happening in our world. I know I've said it to the church before. We'll say it again, that in my younger years of ministry, I just wanted to be a guru on revelation. And I dropped that while I was here as far as being the guru. Not that I quit believing in revelation, but I just realized that, Lord, I'm not for sure that book was not written more for us to know as things unfold, as it is written to us to try to figure everything out when it's going to happen. It's obviously that God says no man's going to know the time nor the hour. And so in doing that, I appreciate the comfort that God has given me through his word in the day that we live in. I don't know how people today, and the word of God is very much under attack, and we see the things that threaten us, maybe just as a warning. We need to be careful. You know, we are living in a day that we are being asked to be tolerant, and I think we should be. I think we should be and have the characteristic to where we are a people that love and a people that have compassion and a people that is willing to reach out. And yet, on the same token, we cannot jeopardize the authority of the Word of God on our reaching out. Everybody said amen? And so people today are offended at God's Word. Matter of fact, there is an undermining spirit in our world today that is anti-Christ. Amen. You can hear it in their criticisms. You can hear it in their statements. You and I have become a nemesis almost to the world. I hope I become even more of a nemesis, because I don't intend on taking the path that the world is taking today, even though I know it might be difficult. Amen. You know, the Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We all will go through tribulation. We will all go through trials. Don't that sound good to you? Isn't that uplifting? Amen. Everybody will be happy over there. Hallelujah. But, you know, here on earth, and I think we are happy. Happy as the people whose God is the Lord. And we are a happy people. And we are confident in where we stand. Amen. I listened to a debate not long ago on creationism versus the evolution. And of course, in that, you know, I heard things that were coming against the Word, and I got to thinking, you know what, this thing, and you have to settle this, I think, within your heart and mind, this thing that we are in, amen, is about faith. One prophet said, except you believe, you will not be established. Somewhere in your heart and mind, you're going to have to settle that God's word is true and that God, his word works. Amen. In believing that, there will be many, many benefits that come your way. Amen. The first church went through severe persecution, and it was very thriving, of a thriving church until probably the first second or third century. And then finally in the fourth century, of course, man was told that he has to embrace Christianity. And so now we find people, instead of being persecuted because they were Christians, they were being persecuted if they were not being Christians. Now, anybody in the right mind could come up with a profession, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, if I knew that I, you know, I'm going to lose my life if I say, amen, that I am not a Christian. Because a non-Christian, a lie doesn't hurt him. But as a Christian, and it might bring us down to this point, church, I think Brother Davis has told you this before, that when I was raised, my dad was very much a post-tribulation believer, believed that the church was going to go all the way through the tribulation. And we don't like to hear that because, I mean, that could be tough. And I know that in all of that, there was something undergirding, though, in being brought up that way, that I know, you know, there is this possibility that I may have to lay down my life for the conviction I hold in my heart. And it was upon the strength of people that practiced that. You know, in the first century, the persecution came from Rome. Amen. And, you know, the things where Christians suffered some of that, but yet I think that many of the Christians were able to, by the word of God, to be directed away from that. Nero did not like us. Amen. Back in his day, and then, of course, later on in history. But this thing that we're going through today, it's very pertinent. Amen. That we make up our mind that we are going to win. Amen. That we settle it within our heart that we are going to be the best that we can possibly be. Amen. I want to be in a church. I don't care if it's got 5,000 people in it. Amen. If it doesn't have anybody that has that strong faith and commitment to the needs that I have, then I don't want to be there. Amen. The Word of God, if you have faith in God and the Word of God, and really begin to practice that and let that sink in, I mean, there's a lot of things that God wants to bless you with. He is going to give you joy. He's going to cause your ways to prosper. He's going to make sure that you're taken care of. And even in death, I want to have the attitude Paul had. He said, you know, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. Amen. In other words, you let me stay here and I'm going to work for God, and if I go, I get to be with Him. Amen. And He'll put a smile on my face. Praise the Lord. And so when we look at those things in the Lord, you know, we can have a confusion in mind and a swaying. You know, Paul says, if I live, I live unto the Lord. If I die, I die unto the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. But we've got to bring this to the conclusion and settle it within our heart and mind that I belong to the Lord, God Almighty. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All power and authority belongs to Him. Amen. And we know, according to His word, that this day and age that we are living in, amen, was prophesied and is written in the Word of God that this age would come. We ought to be excited that it's almost here and it's almost over. Amen. And we want to be on the winning side of those things. Praise the Lord. So let's stand together. Amen. I have a long scripture reading for you. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 48. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 48. Yes, it will be one verse. I will make up the time, use the extra time later, okay? So you're not going to get out early. Amen. If I get going like I do sometimes here, I have so much fun and enjoyment of it, I would just keep going on and on and on. So don't amen me too much. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:48, it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. It says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, I've read that verse who knows how many hundreds of times. I don't know if it ever stood out to me any more than just in the near time that we live in now, just maybe within a week or two, that I was reading that verse. Matter of fact, I got myself a new Bible, and it's a New King James Version, and I'm trying to read that through and not in a systematic way in my own mind, not following any direct program, but I'm going to read a book in Matthew and then go to Romans and Mark and then go to, you know, Corinthians, and then after that I'm going to go to Luke, and of course he brought Acts, and I'm going to go to Acts at that time, and I should bring that in later, but I just want to make that correlation. But when I read across the scripture, there's something that just came out to me, that God, amen, is saying something to us and to this people. He was talking to people of how that they should love their enemies and all of these things, and some people would say, well, if you're going to talk about perfect, amen, you have to realize that that is a kind of situational, or that is comparative. It's knowing that it's maybe you're better than somebody else, and really the word would come to us, and I will go into the deep Greek definition of that in just a few moments, but we know that it means completeness or wholeness, and then there's perfection that we find in Christ. But there was something about these words that says, and it's a challenge to us. To me, I want you to think of this as the ultimate challenge in our lives, that when the Lord deals with us, amen, and he tells us that you must be, or there be ye therefore perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect. And the word actually means, from the Greek word teleos, amen, that we are brought to its end or finish. I like this part, especially in application of what I am going to preach on this morning. It says, wanting nothing necessary to completeness. In other words, like David says, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I used to think, well, now why would he say that? The Lord is my shepherd, I don't want him. Well, that's not what he's saying, amen. In my dumbness, since being raised in Southern Illinois, it took me a long time to figure that out, but the Lord was saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and because he's my shepherd, I will not have to want for drink. I will not have to want for food. I will not have to want for a place to hold my head. I will dwell in this presence forever in the house of the Lord. And what a beautiful book of promise it is. And so, wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Perfect. That which is perfect. The consummate human integrity and virtue of men. Full grown adult. Full knowledge. Mature. Amen, as this adjective would bring to us of this word perfect. Then it is followed by another, I guess it would be an adverb, that would say that even as, it comes from the word hosper, and that word means that just as or even as, that's what Thayer says about it. Strong says that just as, that is, and so they're pretty close in agreement. Amen, but he goes on and says exactly alike. Exactly alike. And so now he does not bring us in the comparison with the things that are temporal and the things that are carnal. But he says, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Man, I tell you what, that's going to be a challenge. That we know that God is perfect in all of his way. The Bible says his works are perfect. Everything that God did and does and is going to do is going to have the mark of perfection upon it. Every attribute that he possesses, we talk about love and mercy and grace and amen, and these things that we read in the Word of God about our Savior and how he loves us and cares for us, amen. As a matter of fact, in his human relationships, he is perfect. He might be offensive, but he is perfect. When we know his Word, we realize that the world that we have, that we're living in today, is not calling us into question. It is calling God and his word into question. And David says, Lord, your law is perfect. Amen. And so we could go on and on. Or not we, but I could. I guess I'm speaking there in a way of bringing you into it, of talking to us about God's perfection. He is not telling us, I want you to be the best of the First Apostolic Church of Sandwich. I want you to be the best you can be, to be like God. Amen. I don't challenge you to compare yourself and judge yourself and weigh out how good you are as you sit and consider that to the person that you're sitting next by, because the Bible says that he who judges himself or compares himself with one another, he is not wise. That means not very smart. Probably could just say they're dumb. But Brother Davis won't say that. We are a part of a church generation where everyone wants the benefit of God's kingdom, but for a minimum cost. I remember Brother Cox preaching a message here years ago that was entitled Calculated Christianity. And even back then, a number of years ago, amen, as he preached that, he brought out to us that people today are living in a time to where they're saying, you know, what do I have to believe to be saved? Or, you know, do I have to do that? I know you've never heard that, but every now and then, I had a neighbor that was kind of a rough character, lived just down the street from me a little bit, and I was walking to church one day, and I passed him, and he told me that he just got saved at a church. And I looked at him, and I said, well, that's good. And he says, and I don't want anybody trying to tell me that I got to cut my long hair. I almost had a little question in my mind that rose up, but I don't want to be judgmental. And later on, I noticed that he got his hair cut. But there was an attitude there from the very beginning. I don't want anybody telling me what I have to do. Well, I'm sorry, you've come to the wrong place. Amen, if you don't. And of course, like I said, it's not especially, you know, the salvation and the insurance of preachers is to try to stick with the word as much as we possibly can. I have heard some sermons where men, they are all over trampling the word of God. And sounds cute and funny, but I sometimes wonder, is that what we really need? You know, something like that. This present generation, and I'm not just talking about the world, but more so many in the church are trying to find the easiest way to get by. The cost of discipleship has gone by the wayside. We have no desire to deny ourselves. Amen. We cringe at the idea of taking up the cross and despise the idea of following Christ as He desires, and it's about our will and first and then God's will. While this generation wants to be perfect in just about everything else, it seems it's forgot about perfecting the powerful principles of the gospel and the lifestyle Christianity that God gave to us. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things in your life will be added to you. There is a blessing behind every demand that God gives to His church and to His people, and we ought to take note, amen, in God's word. Let's give the Lord a good hand. Hallelujah. I heard a statement not long ago by, amen, I don't know if he was a prophet. His name was Vince Lombardi. I don't think he's a prophet. I think he was a football coach. Matter of fact, I know he was a football coach. Do you ever hear something that comes from somebody in the world that's not even talking about the gospel, and you hear that statement, you think, you know what, that really belongs to us. But he had the ability. As a matter of fact, I guess when you are involved in athletics at all, you understand that there are things that just have to be done, and the coaches put you through things that you don't like, and they don't ask you, are you tired? Are you feeling okay? Is everything going well? Would you like to do another push-up? Or would you like to do another 100 push-ups? Or would you like to run 5 miles today? They don't ask you that. Matter of fact, when you're in the Army, I don't think that they handle you that way either. And when you show up every day to work, I don't think your boss is going to handle you that way. And when your kids go to school, they're not going to be told to do things that they really want to do. Amen. In most situations. Now today, it might be just a little bit of a different story. Amen. But there was something in the teacher and the parent and the pastor and the leader. And they think in regard to whatever business that they are in. But let's us think today about God and His church and the ministry and the people and everything there. And anyway, Vince Lombardi would give this. This was a famous statement that he made, amen, as he would bring these young college athletes, being the stature of the coach that he was. He dealt with the very best of the best. I hate to say it was a Green Bay Packer of all things, amen, coach. But I'm glad that Brian's not here today. Amen. But when he does that, when he says that, this is basically what he says. He says, gentlemen, I don't know if they were gentlemen or not, but he says, we are going to relentlessly chase perfection, knowing full well that we shall not catch it, because nothing is perfect. Well, I can't say that. I just said our God is perfect, and even when He submitted Himself to the lowest nature that He could go as God and embodied Himself in the flesh, and yet He came upon this earth, and there's not a doubt in anybody's mind, especially Pilate, who would have liked to found a flaw that said, "There, I find no fault in Him." In other words, He was perfect. Now, Lombardi should have known that, but he says, because nothing is perfect, you are dwelling in a place amongst a body of people and serving a God, amen, that is perfect in every way. And there might be some ways that you would like to change His ways. Amen, as a young person, I would like to be that. And I know I've shared this with the church. I remember when I got right with God, amen, I just used to think, God, you are messed up. This just is not the way to go about it. And I have my own ideas. I know you would never think that about Brother Davis. But like I said, I'm the only boy I know raised in church for 18 and a half years. And at 18 and a half years, had never even bowed my knees to one altar. The only time I prayed before my bed, my brother slapped me because I said, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he said, that's not how we do it. That shows you how much I was getting kind of involved in learning. But I mean, I had an attitude toward God. I liked God, but I didn't like his ways. And the problem was, he didn't like mine. And so we're going to choose to chase perfection relentlessly, meaning without stopping. We're going to go every day to chase something we know we cannot have. But we're going to chase it. But we are going to relentlessly chase it because in the process, we will catch excellence. I am not remotely interested in just being good. And oh, if we had that attitude, if we had somebody that would stand in front of us, and I believe you do. I believe there's sometimes, and please, folks, I want to tell you something. When Brother Wells asks you to do something, amen, give him every benefit of the doubt. Amen. If you want your God, you're not doing something. Amen. It's his responsibility to come and say, you know what, there are things that you need to do. Amen. There's words in the scripture that you got to obey. You got to be a giver. You have to be a sacrificer. You have to be somebody willing to lay your life down. And I know that he doesn't always come to you in that frame of voice, but there are times, amen, that he has to work, amen, the word of God in our lives. Hallelujah. That's the challenge. Amen. I know that was not from the word of a prophet, but yet it was from the word of a man that I think had a pretty good concept, amen, how to accomplish things in this world. Matthew chapter 19. Sister Day is exempted from going to this verse because she's read the Bible through so many times. I don't expect her to go. But she's probably going to go there anyway. We are introduced to a guy that is called a certain ruler. Luke says he was very rich. Mark said he had great possessions. And so thus we get the term the rich young ruler. We don't find out that out till later on in the story. But he was a man that had a drive. I don't believe that you become a rich young ruler with many possessions without some kind of a striving to get better in life. Matter of fact, there's a lot of things that we could take and say the motivation. And I was just telling somebody this the other day that I used to go to some of these PMA rallies and I like to listen to what their thinking is. But as I go that way, I realize that I sat in those meetings and I never got financial benefit from it because I was always thinking, maybe this will make me a better pastor. Maybe this will give me a more positive attitude. And I remember Zig Ziglar say, well, you don't pay the cost. Amen. You enjoy the cost. Because if you pay the cost, you're going to have something to enjoy. If you have in yourself the drive to make everybody around you happy, amen, or to give them what they want, then they're going to see that you get what you want. Amen. And so some of these are things that you just hear saying. I'm thinking, okay, if I give everybody, what I have, then surely there would be something coming back to us as a church, not to Brother Davis as an individual, but to that. But this good man, this rich young ruler, comes to Jesus and says, good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good that one, and that is God. It could have been that this man could have had a little insight that Jesus Christ was just an extraordinary teacher. He was a perfect man. And he knows everything, and he's quite in the mouth of the critics, and he seemed to be able to, his teaching was amazing, and they marveled at the things that he said, and we just take them as common things, but he was a good teacher, a perfect Savior, a perfect Messiah. And I believe that this man and his ability to achieve was concerned about something that he knows in his life that he has to do. And he says, why call me good? There is none good but God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep his commandments. Folks, I want to tell you something. I don't know what I'm missing, but when I read through the Word of God, I'm amazed. Me to do, amen. And so his commandments are perfect also. But this man says, which one? And I'm wondering, okay, keep the commandments. I think that was plural because it has an S on the end of it. And he was not talking about one. He was talking about all of them. And I know there's only mention, thou shalt not do murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, thou shalt love the Lord as thyself. I don't know if all the others were discussed, but these things we know that were. And the young man said unto these, all these things I have kept from my youth up, yet what lack I? Seems like there's just something amiss in my life, amen. And so he brings that to the Lord. Now Mark captures something in his gospel in this account. Mark 10:21, you don't have to turn there. I call it the look of love. It's kind of like he's to the place to where, you know, Jesus beholding him loved him. Amen. Matthew missed it, Luke missed it, but Mark kind of got in there and says, yo, what was that look? A special affection toward Lazarus. When Lazarus died, it says, oh, he whom thou lovest, amen. And then people says, oh, how he loved him. He loved everybody. But there was something about this. And of course, he was very close to the sisters. And I'm not going to get into debate whether that's who it was this morning or not. But let's if we just imagine that it was. He loved this man. And he said unto him, and why did he beholding him, loving him? Because he knew that the time would come, and he gave the instruction to the church, and not only to the ministry, to everybody. It says, when you speak truth in, everybody say love. Amen. And he saw this guy, and he says, one thing thou lackest. God will always find that thing in your life that you can improve on. No matter how good you are doing those things, and we like to say, hey, I'm doing good because I'm doing this, and every now and then God has to say, but you know what? You're lacking in an area of your life. How many of you have ever been lacking in some area in your life? You didn't have to raise your hand, but you know, I'm glad I know who you are now, and I know who I'm preaching to. One thing that you lack, you go your way. You sell whatever thou hast said. Give to the poor. And this is Mark's take on this story. Thou shalt have treasure. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. That's a good thing. But come, take up the cross, and follow me. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. That's the one thing that you lack. You know what we would have said? Where, show me that in the Bible. Show me where it's wrong to have money. Show to me where it's wrong to have wealth. I want to tell you something. God never made that commandment that man could not be successful financially. Amen. I'm not saying that God ever made the promise that we all are supposed to be rich. Amen. But this particular man, amen, feared God to where he was keeping all the commandments and doing everything right. And Jesus has to pull up something that he's doing wrong, and it's not even written in the Word. Can you imagine this happening today? And you have a young couple come to church, and they're sitting back there, and you just have to say, And don't take this wrong. I really want to convey this carefully. And the guy did just a marvelous job. Not only the one that was teaching it, but everybody on the panel. And that's where one of the statements I made earlier kind of came from, is the fact that we have to be careful that we do not tell people something that compromises the Word of God. Without the truth, they cannot be saved. It doesn't mean that we are their judge or that we condemn them, but on the same token, I mean, when I was a young man and I went to church, nobody was concerned about my emotions. Every preacher I knew just walked all over me. I heard things I did not like. That's why I realized that God had it wrong. Matter of fact, I asked God after I'd been saved. I said, God, how is this that you knew that this was going to work so well? Because I have joy and I have hope and I have mercy and I feel saved and I feel happy. And all the time I was in the world, I was miserable and I was trying to work it out on my own idea. And I remember this talking to God in my car. And it's as if God says, because I'm your creator. Amen. I'm the one that made you. I know more about you than you know about yourself. And if the world somehow today can look at a flaw in them in their lives and say, Lord, what is going on here? I believe that God in His love has an answer. Amen. Has a promise, has a deliverance, has a healing. Amen. For people that need the message. And Brother Davis did not need somebody to come and say, you know, Bill, you believe in God, don't you? And I believe in God. You realize how many churches I could walk into and somebody come and ask me, do you believe in God? And I say, yes, I believe in God. They would say, oh, praise God, you are saved. But I wasn't saved. I was worse than the person who didn't know if they believed in God or not. I believed in God. I held truth and unrighteousness. And at that time in my life, that God would come and flame me vengeance. Amen. Taking it out upon my life. Because I was not living according to the commandments and the Word of God and the will of God. I was not coming to the place. And folks, I want to tell you something. We are not here to portray anything but love. But love speaks truth. And it speaks truth in love. It's not mean. It doesn't ostracize. It is not about casting out. And yet when people come to our church and they realize somehow if we can convey to them that we love them, and they could feel a part of relationship with us. I think I've told you this about my home church, and I love to wander here. Amen. I know you folks are going to be patient, don't need to eat at 1 o'clock. But when those things happen to us, there ought to be a community that is, we know is supportive. And it ought to come into us in such a way to where we're not compromising. Jesus did not compromise. And He has to pull out of something that wasn't even a law. Brother Kellum, if I came to tell you, you know what, Brother Kellum, you're going to have to, I don't know. That means He has to do it, but it does mean that He needs to do that because we take God at His word. Now, I'm not preaching at anybody on that today. Amen. I'm just telling you that is what, I mean, this guy feels like, well, what are you talking about? Can you imagine your pastor coming up and saying, you know what? God just told me that you got to sell everything that you have. Your house, your car, your wife, your kids. He would never say that. That wouldn't be God. Because I know the word better than that. And we'll say, show me the scripture. That's a bona fide response. When he says, which, that wasn't bona fide. He already said, keep the commandments. But now he hears something and there is a call of discipleship that was familiar, but not about selling everything you have and give to the poor. Why didn't he say that to Peter and James and John? Well, we all know that because they were Pentecostal. Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee. And so he goes on, verse 21, this short chapter I'm making long. Amen. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. I think that's what the word says. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor. You shall have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Amen. And the young man, God, Jesus offended him. How do you know? Because he went away sorrowful. He didn't turn his back on Brother Davis or Brother Kellum or Brother Day or, amen, or Brother Gary. Amen. He was offended. He left there offended. Because God gave him a truth and an insight into his life. And that's one of the problems that we have today. And I think most of it is because there is no desire. Most people that are going to churches today, denominational churches, go in without a desire of trying to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. And so they feel like we don't have to do anything. Jude calls it a perversion of grace. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They despise the word. Paul says to the church in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 3, if you want to turn there, I'm not going to really read it, but he says, listen to this. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Amen. Let us go on to perfection. What are you talking about? There's this foundation that's been laid. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. That is laid. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them shall be like a man who builds his house upon a rock. Your life is called God's building. Amen. And Paul says, I have laid the foundation. Another man buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. The apostle says, Ephesians 2 and 20, that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Timothy says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every man or every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And iniquity is a rebellion against the laws of God. A stubbornness. Why am I going to do that? But the foundation is given there. Now here's, these people have come through and evidently Paul is saying, you know, we've done a pretty good job. We laid a good foundation. Amen. Repentance from dead works. That's a stone. Doctrine of baptism. Sending somebody forward, and so they'd gone down. Okay, we got the repentance thing down, and we were really sorrowful, and it was true repentance, and we believe in God with all of our heart, and now we've come to the place to where we believe on the gifts of the Spirit and the things of God. And then there is this laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Those things are poured into our lives and we try to understand them. And here's what can happen to us. You go out for Little League Baseball. The coach is going to tell you something like this, and he may be a professional athlete. So that you can swing evenly. And they will tell them principles of that game. That, you know what? When they're in high school, the coach is going to be re-emphasizing that. When they get to college, they're going to be re-emphasizing that. And you're going to watch batters, amen, in professional baseball, and they took their eye off the ball, or they just had a silly swing or something like that, and they forgot the fundamentals. But it does not stop them. They decide that, I want to go on. And the person actually that becomes the phenomenal athlete is usually the one that paid a little bit more of a price, stayed at practice a little bit longer, like Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson. And just, you don't ever hear an athlete come up and say, you know what? I just walked out one day and I started swinging a bat and nobody told me nothing. And I didn't practice, I didn't do it. That just doesn't go with the case. Amen. But what is happening here is there is a foundation that is laid for a walk with God. And after you get this foundation laid, I mean, look at me. I repented of my sins. I got baptized in Jesus' name. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. God baptized me with the fire of holiness. And he taught me about the resurrection of dead, laying on of hands, and eternal judgment. And now, every now and then, if I get active, because if somebody somehow we don't reach them, they're going to end up in that place. The resurrection of the dead is our great hope. It's one of the fundamental doctrines. And then Paul has the audacity to come around and say, okay, we got that done. Now, that was quite a bit. You take that into a denominational church today, and they're going to say, wow, you know, you folks do a lot. We just say we believe. And we live the lifestyle we want. Nobody ever corrects us. Nobody ever admonishes us. Nobody really even seems to care about us. We get our hour in and our hour out. But Lord, the Lord expects something higher of that of you and of me and everybody else. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And it stands as a long verse. And I know that I say this to myself. I can't be perfect all the time. But there's no harm in trying to be. And then when you feel sorry, you don't excuse yourself. Say, God, I really messed that one up. And repent of it over and let God flood you with His Word. We know that only God is perfect. Even in the incarnation of God, He was absolutely perfect. But what does it hurt if we relentlessly pursue perfection? Come on, that's it. We ought to give God a hand offering. Amen. I feel like Vince Lombardi today. I'm glad that God understands this. I love this verse. Psalms 103:14. For He knoweth our frame, and He remembereth that we're dust. He gave us a commandment that He knows that we will not be able to keep. That was His directive. He commands your Father in heaven. And He knows that there's no way that we are going to attain. Only He was able to do that in flesh. All of us struggle. But why do I come to the conclusion, as some people do upon that, that I can't be perfect? Why even? Because somewhere in your trying, you move beyond good, very good. I'll give you another good spiritual. Sister Doris knows I'm spiritual when I talk like this. What is the most famous thing of the day about Ted Williams today? You know? One thing that really stands out about Ted Williams. Anybody? What's that? But what's really he known for today? Huh? He was the last man to ever bat 400 in Major League Baseball. He did it in 1921. Of 1941. And about 1921, there was a guy that batted 401. Ted Williams batted 406. If you would go back to the person who batted 406, it even goes beyond the turn of the century and down the line, he was considered to be an excellent hitter. But he only batted 400. He wasn't a perfect hitter. I can set it straight right now. There will not be sports in heaven. How are you going to live with that, Brother Davis? I will live with it fine, because what good it would be if the perfect pitcher threw the perfect pitch and the batter the perfect at bat and the fielder fielded perfect all the time. Nobody ever did it wrong. What fun would it be? What if I hit the ball 400 yards and it goes in the hole every time? Nor will there be fishing. Nor will there be dogs. Because all of those things, if they were perfect, they wouldn't be fun to watch. You would have a scoreless baseball game going on for all eternity. Who won today? They're still playing. Let me just talk to you about, I'm going to take my time. Don't walk out on me now. Let me talk to you just a little bit. I'm going to read these verses to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 5. It says, now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier in Christ, nor no man worth entangleth himself in the affairs of life, that he may please him who chose him to be a soldier. If a man strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And Paul is not talking about human competition. He's talking about living for God and being perfect. Amen. And having a relationship to where he can strive. Now, this word strive comes from the Greek word athio, which we would get the word athletes. Amen. They're involved in a contest. They're contending for something. They're in a competitive game. And so they're striving. Amen. And they're working hard. And that word strive means, amen, that they want to go far beyond. The discus guy, when he goes the disc, and he gets right, now that's an old thing from the Olympics, the games. What is his desire? He wants to go further than anybody else. If you were an astronaut, wouldn't you want to, if the trip before you went to Mars, just in your nature, say, I'd like to go beyond Mars. They just made it to the moon, I know, but I'm just saying if that day ever comes. That, you know, men today are driven, and we are part of a prosperous world because people had ideas and they wanted to be better than the normal. But friend, when I think about being better than the normal, I want to be the best Christian I could possibly be. Amen. If I can't have perfection, let me have excellence. Paul says in Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Amen. And I just go read a few things here. He talks in verses 1 and 2 about the people not doing things dishonestly, not walking in craftiness, not having the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves and every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, your walk with God ought to be strong enough that you will commend yourself to a person that you meet that you can do what I'm doing. It's my gospel. Because Paul goes on and says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. It's hid in us, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 12 or 7, let's drop down to it. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of the power of God and not of us. Everybody say excellency. Amen. And that is where God has called us, to the place to where I know I might not be perfect. I might just be like Ted Williams. But I want to tell you something. Ted Williams has gone beyond the average. He's gone beyond the ordinary. Amen. It's many years later now, and it's almost 100 years, or excuse me, it's probably, what would that be, 60, 70, 75 years or so or more. Amen. That record has been held intact, and it's one of the longest in baseball, just from hitting 400. But he's considered to have mastered the ability to take a bat. Amen. He hasn't perfected it. Amen. So this ministry given you, God has given you, you know, ministers, apostles, and prophets, and pastors, and evangelists, and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. There's something there that God has called us and says, you know what, you got to realize that I want you to challenge yourself. The ultimate challenge is be perfect. And God knows that we're not going to be perfect. I spoke to somebody the other day. As a matter of fact, I preached this sermon, and somebody came to me and says, you know what, he said, I like that. He's kind of in sales, and it's not really a sales motivation speech, but he come up and says, you know what, I heard one time a man say that good is an enemy of excellence. Because people say, oh, I want to be good. You have one people just want to fit in and say, I want to be like everybody else. I only want to be, and I'll never achieve it, to be like Christ. And though I will never achieve it, I must not let the motivation swell up within my, I can try to be like Christ. Amen. I can do my best to be like Christ. Amen. I can pray about it every day, and I can pray over it every day. And when these things come on, am I able to live the way that Christ lived? Amen. Corinthians says in 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, and having therefore these promises, he talks about your body being the temple of the Holy Ghost. Don't be joined with the unbeliever. For God says, for I will come out from among them, be separate, for I will be their God. They'll be my people. I will walk with them. I'll talk with them. They shall be called my sons and daughters. That's the promises. And so he says, and these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's a call that God has made upon our lives. You know, I'm concerned. There's a scripture in the Bible. And again, Brother Davis wants to speak this in love. That tells a woman that she should have long hair. Yeah, I know you've never heard that before. I just am amazed. I mean, it's right there between communion and gifts of the Spirit. It's located in a pretty central spot. If a woman has long hair, the Bible says that, you know, nature will, Paul's saying, I'm teaching this. And he says, and nature agrees with me. And the angels are going to get involved. Amen. And it's going to be her glory. Most people today says not. What is that all about? Here's what amazes me. Not that everybody that goes to church has long hair. But why is it that you could go to so many churches and never see one person? And I think many of you know where they used to be on this whole mission. And they were just not the best time. I just wonder, where is the absence of that? I never forget a conversation I had with somebody, and they told me one time, says, why do your women have long hair? And I know his church preached against men having long hair. And so I said, why is your church, all the men have short hair? And he looked at me and says, and he knew it because he knew the verse. He said, oh, I see what you're saying. Why is it our men are told and preach that they have short hair, and it's a shame for men to have long hair, but our women. Garden over me, and I want the Lord's favor upon my life, and amen. And Paul said it, and nature said it, and it agrees with me, and nature doesn't agree with the other. But see what happens when you begin to drop that. That used to be a standard in just about every denomination you can think of. But we've lost it. And I want to tell you something. We've lost a lot of other things in the Word of God. That God is saying, I want you to be perfect. I know you won't make it, but I'm going to be there to help you anyway. I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to empower you anyway. As a matter of fact, I'm going to help you become something greater than you've ever been before. You're going to look in the mirror and say, oh, for the excellency of Christ. Amen. That I might attain and strive for and work for and not just sit around and hoping that someday God zaps me and everything changes. Folks, I want to tell you something. Be ye perfect. Even as, and that's the hard part, your Father in heaven. And don't kick yourself when you fall short. Realize, I'm going to catch excellency somewhere, and I might be better than the normal Christian. And I tell you, I'm going to be worship. Amen. And you know, here Brother Davis is, we're not going to split the church. I understand that. It's 20 to 12. Now you're mad. I know. Hallelujah. But when we come, I want you and me. Matter of fact, I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, I've got to make a commitment to you. Let's stand together. That I will commit myself to do perfect. And I'm never going to lose my trust and faith in you, and I hope that you will make me excellence. I used to sing an old song that went like, to be like Jesus. It says it all.
To be like Jesus.
Let's just come and stand around this altar. I'm going to dismiss you here, not hold you a long time, but I want you to come and let's focus in on Him. On earth I long to be. Do you really want to be like Him? That's what a Christian is. To be like Christ. To act like Christ. To speak like Christ. To love like Christ, to have mercy like Christ, to be supported like Christ, and yet on the same token, speak truth and love. Saturate my mind, my spirit, my soul, my body, Lord, with a desire to be better. God, as these last days come upon us, hallelujah, to be more like you, Christ. You've overcome the world, our faith in you overcomes the world. Hallelujah, we're not going to be foolish in the crowd and beat around, but God, we're going to win. Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Desire to do better. Lord, I must do better. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
To be like Him.
Sing it to Him right now. Hallelujah. To be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus.
It's not that I've attained already. But Paul says, I want to apprehend that for which I'm apprehended. Amen. There's technical things that God does in our lives that makes a difference. Sister Davis was talking about that sermon. Brother Robert Tisdale, I don't know if you've ever heard him preach. First time I heard him preach, he had a May of Miracles down in Cooper City where beautiful, talented Sheriff Davis Bolin, we can forget that last part of it, is the music director. But if you go on the-pentecostals.org, that brings up her church. And he preached that message Sister Davis was talking about, and he just a great preacher. Gittith from Gath. Gittith was an instrument that was, the wood was only found in Gath. And the sounds of the Korah had to be played upon. That song, Psalms 84, had to be played upon a Gittith from Gath. And so in doing that beautiful sermon, we are all somewhere today we ought not to be. Why do we get to stand in His presence? Why do we get to feel His Spirit? Why do we get to be challenged in the Holy Ghost? Because we're His. And God made provision for. And the sons of Korah did not deserve there to be there, but they were there, and they enjoyed being there. And that's why they said, you know, one day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. Oh God, how amiable are thy ways. They were not bitterness, but read the 84th Psalm today. Beautiful psalm. But it was written to and for people that really should not have even been able to participate. But God made a way. And we're not worthy to stand here. Why would we hold anything back? I count it a privilege to serve the one true God. His name is Jesus. I am so glad that He filled me with His precious Spirit. And I'm so glad He's called us to a holiness relationship to where we will always be able to look in the mirror and say, I can do better than I've been doing. If you live to be 90, Sister Day, maybe we'll give her a lease on that. But, you know, everybody else, I'm just teasing. And you know what? She could probably tell me. Because we all have sinned, come short. We've missed the mark. But it don't mean we quit pursuing. God looks upon you and He considers your frame. You're nothing but a dirt bag. I mean, you're nothing but dust. Amen. But He considers our frame. Amen. And He accepts us. He knows that. He is not expecting perfection, but expects you to take up the challenge to become perfect. And you know what? It will be a challenge until the day that Jesus comes. We just need to do it. Nike, that's a Bible word, you know. Just do it in Jesus' name. Lord bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.